continue worshiping the Lord in song, through preaching, testimonies, through the Word of God being open today. Hymn number 52 in the Blue Hymn Book, Welcome to our church's 25th church anniversary, and Faith Baptist Church goes back 43 years as of this year, and First Baptist Church of Northfield goes back to 52 years, and 54 years, 43 years, and Northfield Baptist 25 years, and we're so thankful for what God has done over those years. Hymn number 52, to God be the glory, great things He hath done. It's His work that we see today, not a work of any one person or any one Christian. It's God's work, and it's Jesus Christ's church. And let's stand together as we praise Him this morning.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So love be the world.
Something you are thankful to God for about His glory, how He has given us a glimpse of His glory through the Word of God, through wonderful occasions like this, through our being faithful to Him. He allows us to see His glory in the Scriptures. Who will be first to praise God this morning for His glory? Yes, Nicole.
I praise Him for a great week.
Amen. Following Jesus gives us a great week. Eric.
I thank God for being here. I thank God for Shannon. And I had a nice dance with her. And
okay.
Thank for my family because my sister coming to see me. I got a birthday coming
up. All right. Amen. Who else? What are you thankful for about God's glory? Dawn.
I'm thankful for the fact that God actually is putting people in my life that I can actually start showing them who Jesus really is. And,
amen.
And without that and the mercy that He's given me, I wouldn't be able to do that. So I just thank Him for today.
Amen. Who else? Yes, Carolyn.
I just thank God for his provisions and how he provides for us.
Amen. 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 Yes, Joe.
Thanks for putting all these believers here today.
Amen. Amen. Darlene. Amen. Let us bow together in prayer. I'm going to ask Pastor Logan, would you lead us in prayer this morning?
Our Father, our God, we just thank you for your presence this morning. Thank you for the things you provide. The scripture does say, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad therein.
Amen.
Thank you all for your here this morning, Father. We thank you for those that may yet be on the way. We thank you for those that could not come because of some difficulty, probably beyond our control. They dress them wherever they are. Thank you for the church office. Thank you for our nation. Our leaders and authority. Would you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, particularly the peace of that nation, Lord? We owe a great deal to that nation, a debt that we can never repay, Lord. We say thank you for that nation. We wait for that day with great anticipation when you say that all our soul of Israel shall be saved, Lord. If they will look at you and they will see the nail prints in your hair, if they will see the one of your side, they will say,
amen.
That you get there. They will say, in the house of my prayer. They realize they crucified their own Savior. They crucified their own Savior.
Amen.
Lord, there in the end of the day, a nation shall be born. Thank you for that nation. Continue to bless the nation, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
We pray for the sick and churches, Lord. Some of you come here this morning because they are not feeling well. We pray for them, Lord. Thank you for them. Thank you for Son of Roy, Lord. We pray that you do well this morning.
Amen. Amen.
We pray for her, Lord. And for Justine, Lord. We pray for her and him, Lord. Can you be with her? And others, Father, that bless the message this morning, Lord. May be hot in our hearts. May not send us against you. And may go out and become not just here for the word, but to do it. But it's not here, but to do it just about you. Then we thank you. We love you. We leave it all in your hands. So all God's people say.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. We're so thankful for the many visitors that are here today to share this special day with us. Let us turn to hymn number 186. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? And can it be? Number 186, we'll have the ladies sing the second, the men sing the third, and join on the chorus. We'll start with the first verse.
And can it be that I should
thank you. condemnation now I dread. What a great truth from the Scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. To those that walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Verse 5. No condemnation now I dread. Truth from that scripture there, and let us at this time turn to our bulletins. If we could have our ushers turn to our get our bulletins and start passing those out. We'll go also to our scripture reading today will be read on the screen. We're going to watch a video of the merging of the two churches, Northfield Baptist Church, which comprised of two separate churches. Faith Baptist Church started in 1975 by Pastor Barry Rice, and then First Baptist Church of Northfield started in 1964 by Pastor Wells, and so those two churches coming together. So you can see the history of who those churches were, then the merging in 1994, 1993, and so thus we are here where we are today as a result of the merging of those two churches. And we are so thankful for God's hand in this all. So we're going to start with that video, the slideshow there on the computer of the PowerPoint presentation. And it has music on it. And some of you will see, look for yourself. You're in it. If you're here this morning, you're most likely in this video of over the years of the church, and so we're so thankful.
Lay up your treasures in heaven, O people, lay up your treasures in glory, where nothing in this world can take them away. O listen, people, hear the Master say, go on and lay up your treasures in heaven. People, lay up your treasures in glory. Your treasures in this world will fade away, but the things of the Lord will last forever, evermore.
Well, the Lord looked out and saw the people there, tied up in worry and burdened with care. He said, seek first the kingdom and you will see.
The things that will last for eternity, come and lay up your treasures in heaven. Oh, people, lay up your treasures in glory, where nothing in this world can take them away. Oh, listen, people, hear the Master say, come on and lay up your treasures in heaven. Oh, people, lay up your treasures in glory. Your treasures in this world will fade away, but the things of the Lord will last forever, ever.
Trust in their silver and gold, they put their faith in the wealth they hold, but fortunes will fade and kingdoms fall.
But put your trust in the Lord of all, won't you lay up your treasures in heaven? Oh, people, lay up your treasures in glory, where nothing in this world can take them away. Oh, listen, people, hear the Master say, come on and lay up your treasures in heaven. Oh, people, lay up your treasures in glory. Our treasures in this world will fade away, but the things of the Lord will last forever. Forevermore.
Thank you. children, get on board now, little children. There's room for many on board.
Get on board now, little children. Get on board now, little children. Get on board now, little children. There's room for many on board.
Get on board.
We're going to do something a little different this year because it is our 25th. We're going to, at the end of the service, at 12:15, when Dr. Waite finishes preaching, we're going to have a time of hors d'oeuvres and finger foods. And for a half hour, we're going to take testimonies from former church members and from current church members of their time, their memories back in those days. So hopefully those jogged some memories for you, and you can share just a few minute testimonies. We have about 7 that we want to go through, so if you can give us that, and then for about half hour we'll do that, and then we'll go to the restaurant at 1 o'clock. So that'll be something special for us. I think that'll be really nice to hear a little bit of those memories, fond memories that the Lord has given to us. All right, at this time, we'll direct your attention to our bulletin. Does anyone need one? We'll be happy to get one to you. Okay, if we can have some of our ushers and junior ushers help pass those out. Just keep your hand up, and we'll get those to you. If I can have one up here, I'd appreciate that. Sorry, I didn't pick one in on the way in this morning. We're thankful for all of our church members who serve so faithfully each week. Says, love one another, John 13:34. In a few minutes, we're going to have Mayor Chow come and give us a few words as well. And so glad to have him and his mom, Betty, here with us. Welcome, Betty. How are you doing?
Thank you, sir.
Amen. All right. Did those bring back some memories, Betty? All right. Wonderful. All right. It's good also to have Dr. Waite's, one of Dr. Waite's sons here with us. We'd have Richard.
Yes.
Welcome, Richard, and his wife and their children. And it's also good to have Barry and Caroline Mason and my Uncle Ron Rice, who will be giving the afternoon message at the diner. My Uncle Ron Rice will be giving that message at the diner, so we look forward to hearing that. It's good to have my mom and stepdad here with us. Sheila and Steve Ingram. It's good to have the Altamari family here with us, Steve and Sarah, Karis and Steven. It's good to have Bert Minninger, my grandmom, here with us. It's good to have my sister Julie here with us as well. And then on this side, it's good to have each one of you. Good to have Ernesto and Donna Altamari here with us from Pennsylvania. Welcome. And we are so glad that you are all here to share this special day. It's good to have Howard Watkins here with us. He was baptized just a month or so ago, a couple months ago. Glad to have Howard back. Nancy and Michael, Nancy Joyce and Mike Snuffin. And glad that each one of you are here with us. Just by way of announcements, we want to mention there are some books on the book table. I know Dr. Waite might have an announcement about the books on the book table. Did you want to mention something? Brother John's going to mention that. Go ahead, John.
First, I want to thank everybody for coming here on behalf of Norfolk Baptist Church. We really appreciate everybody being here and coming as far as they have. It's so important that we understand that the underlying issue is not so much translations, it's the underlying text to those translations. The corrupt Greek text of Westcott and Hort came out of Alexandria, Egypt, is what virtually all translations out there in the English are based upon, with the exception of one and only one, and that is our King James Bible. To answer two things that Dr. Waite didn't remember earlier, the book he was referring to was 51 Reasons Why the King James Version by David Daniels that he's currently reading. And there are over 500 different translations in the English language today.
Yeah.
You know, Satan wants to cause confusion in the church. He wants to cause doubt in our minds. And that's what the purpose of all those are. I want to give your attention to a few things. The current issue of the Bergon Society newsletter is on the back table. It's free to everybody. There's a couple other pamphlets and leaflets back there as well that are free. We have one on why the Bible for Today organization exists. Who was Dean John Bergon? That's a very important one also. Little book on how we got our Bible and the greatest possession, a sermon that Dr. Waite preached many years ago. So they are available. And those are free. In terms of some of the books that we have, we have the Defined King James Bible available in the back. We have both medium print and large print. This is a medium one. It's the same Bibles that we have in our pews here. We also have Dr. Waite's main book is Defending the King James Bible. This is an excellent overview of the entire topic dealing with why the King James translation is so superior to all others out there and the reasons behind that and the differences between the King James and many others. And we have numerous other books in, on the back table that Dr. Waite has written, commentaries on different New Testament books, and also question and answer booklets that he's done over the years. He also has Heresies of Westcott and Hort. This will give you an idea of what Westcott and Hort did to that Greek text that all these other translations are based upon, and why we reject it. And there are many that think that the King James is so difficult to read, and it really is not. It's actually, if you look at the reading level of the King James Bible compared to many other books out there, it's at a lower grade level, so it's very easy for you to read, but it's been said, and it's a lie, it's been said over and over again. If you say a lie often enough for a long enough time, eventually people start to believe it. And that's what's happened with people saying, King James is too difficult to read, I can't understand it. This book will explain to you, it really is much simpler than you think. And this was a study done by Dr. Waite's, I think your oldest son, wasn't it? Yes. Dr. D.A. Jr. And this is an excellent book. These are all available on the back table along with some others. And we look forward to hearing from you. And do we have another song?
Pretty soon, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, and then also by way of other announcements, we have a ladies' Bible study this Saturday, February 16th, at Maria Price's house. If you need information or directions, see Carol Gibson or call them. Their numbers are on here. This Saturday we are going out, soul winning, giving out gospel tracts as we go into Atlantic County for Christ at 3 p.m. here at the church. Then Safety Recognition Day is coming up Sunday, March 10th at 10:45. We want to thank our police, firefighters, and EMTs for all they do on a daily basis to keep us safe and protect us. And so we are going to give them a special gift of recognition. So we want to pass the word out to any of our area EMTs, firefighters, and police. And of course, Mayor Chow will be talking with you further about that. And we want to pass the word along to City Hall here. Then our Master Club's Regionals competition is coming up March 30th. We have our 3rd through 6th graders going to that special time where they will compete in many different opportunities to such as Bible memory games, such as teaching a Bible lesson, some preaching, some presenting a Christian art entry or playing an instrument. They will be doing team and gym games. So this is a special time. That's March 30th. Then Dr. Gary Gilmore, Evangelist Gary Gilmore, will be coming for revival meetings March 24th through the 28th. So set that aside in your calendar and come on out for the special preaching of God's Word by this faithful evangelist. At this time, we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this morning of our tithes and offerings to God. God says, Jesus said, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom that which we give to God." So let us give to the Lord, and sure enough, God always repays us because it is worth serving Him, and He makes it known to us. Let us bow together in prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for the day of the money you about to see. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray, amen.
Amen. This time we'll have Mayor Chow come, and he has a few words to speak today. We're grateful to have him come at this special occasion of our 25th church anniversary. And as I mentioned before, Faith Baptist goes back 43 years, and First Baptist goes back 54 years. But my dad saw it when he came on as pastor of the merged church in 1993. He saw something coming that both churches needed to see, and that was that the GERB, the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches, was going liberal. They were going character with the Word of God, and they were going into modernism. And he got them out back in 1993 when the churches merged. And thank God he did, because now today, the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches, more than half of those churches don't even say Baptist in the name anymore. You know, if they're not even going to claim Baptist by distinctive, that we believe in the Bible. Baptists have a great name. We believe in the Bible as the being the authoritative Word of God. Amen. And that once a person gets saved, they trust Christ as Savior, the first thing to do is baptize them. And so simple teaching of the Word of God, and so my dad had the wisdom to see that, and what a great blessing that was. Mayor Chow, would you please come?
Thank you. Well, good morning, and happy anniversary. Today I want to recognize and congratulate the Northfield Baptist Church on reaching their 25th anniversary. You are a forward-looking church. But today, I ask you to remember your past, those members of your congregation, and the clergy who have nurtured and raised up this church with their vision, prayer, and hard work. Now, as a church and a community, we are all formed by our history. Our faith is based on a collection of writings dating from antiquity. And when I was thinking about what I was going to say to all of you on this very special day, I thought about the many hands and hearts that have brought this church to this very special moment in time. There's a work of contemporary art at the Indianapolis Museum of Art, and it was created by a Korean sculptor and simply called The Floor. Now, it's a grid of about 32 squares. And upon entering this gallery, viewers are invited to step on this rather expensive platform covered with thick glass plates. Now, if you look beneath the glass platform, there are small specks of color. And if you look very carefully, those specks of colors are small palms of figures assembled below the glass floor. And if you look even more carefully, you will see hundreds of sculptured men and women all crowded together with their heads upturned and their arms raised to the heaven. The collective strength of this group supports the weight of individual visitors who step upon this floor grid. To step upon this glass is to feel the support by so many hands. Its sculpture language, this artwork, represents for me the communion of saints or a cloud of witnesses. It is a striking remember and reminder that we are supported by those who have gone before us. And those who came before us have provided us a strong foundation through the labor and the prayers and the visions of the future. Northfield Baptist Church, today was 25 years ago, a dream, a hope in the hearts of others and many. Now, the most important function of the past is to lead us into the future. May this place forever inspire all of us to love and to stretch your abilities and imagination. And now I'll close with a prayer from our Jewish brothers and sisters. May the door of this sanctuary be wide enough to receive all of who are hunger for love, all who are lonely for the friendship. May it welcome all of those who care to unburden, thanks to express, hopes to nurture. May the door of this sanctuary be narrow enough to shut our pettiness and pride and envy. And may a threshold be no stumbling block to young or straying feet. And may it be too high to admit complacency, selfishness, and harshness. And may this sanctuary be for all who enter the doorway to the richer and more meaningful of life. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Rice, would you please come over here? I'd like to read this Office of the Mayor proclamation, if I may. And where it is the responsibilities of the Mayor of the City of Northfield to give recognition to individuals for their hard work, dedication, and achievement, and whereas the Northfield Baptist Church was formed on February 6, 1994, and whereas the true mission of the church is the spreading of the gospel into all the world and the building up of the saints, and whereas the Northfield Baptist Church encourages obedience and commitment in this enterprise through the vehicle of faith, promise, and giving, and whereas Northfield Baptist Church is celebrating its 25th anniversary and service, now therefore I, Erlen V.L. Chow, the mayor of the city of Northfield, County of Atlantic, New Jersey, do hereby recognize Northfield Baptist Church. Congratulations to everyone. Well deserved. Thank you again, ladies and gentlemen.
This is for all the members of the church, past, present, and future. And thank you to each one for your service. This time we'll sing one more song. Let's all stand together as we turn to our hymn book. Hymn number 852, May the Lord Find Us Faithful. Hymn number 852, May the Lord Find Us Faithful.
God has not given us the spirit of fear, but has given us the strength to
special music. this time we'll have the young people. This is a very momentous day. We're not going to get another 25th anniversary except for another 25 years. So I think it's good to have the kids stay in today to hear from a very wise man of God who's been in the battle for many years, just like you've seen a lot of Christian men and women been in the battle for many years. Well, here we have another man, Dr. D.A. Waite, who's been in the battle for many years for the Word of God, contending for the faith, and so I really think it's important that you hear him speak. And Dr. Waite, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you, and how many years have you been in the ministry?
91 years of age. I've been in ministry since 1948.
Amen. Amen. Would you come? I was just pulling off the shelf my dad's copy of the Revision Revised. One of the first things I had to read when I started seminary was the Revision Revised by Dean William John Burgon. And I said, this is an interesting book. Sure enough, that's the book where Dr. Burgon just tore apart the whole lies that Westcott and Horton, the whole false Greek text, all the new version, the guys behind the new versions, he tore apart their whole line of reasoning and modern Bible criticism, which is born out of atheism and agnosticism. And so that really got me started. Then I started reading other of Dr. Waite's books that he had on his shelf. And so my dad really appreciated Dr. Waite's writings and learned a lot, and he stuck to the faith. Every year when he'd come back from the seminary that we were associated with, Calvary Baptist Theological mm-hmm. Seminary in Lansdale, Pennsylvania, every year he'd come back and he'd say, Jeremy, he said, things are going down. They're attacking the Bible, and he said, I can't identify quite all of it, but he said, I definitely know something's going wrong. And so you've definitely helped in all those areas. Thank you, Dr. Waite.
Thank you very much, Pastor Rice. I appreciate your kind invitation to have me to come to speak to your people. I appreciate Deacon John Watkins getting all those books back there. He went to our home and our church and picked them out and said, maybe these are some of the books that your people would like, and so appreciate his good work as well. Well, this morning we began earlier and talked about the different things that a pastor's church must contend for and stand for in order to continue 40 or 50 years, including this 22nd anniversary, or 25th anniversary. And we're from 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 1 to 7 is what we picked out. Now, he said if I could stop at 20 after, right, a little behind. I want to get to see where my watch is. It's hidden somewhere here. Over here, I see it. It's now about 8 minutes to 12. So 12:20, is it, Pastor? So 20 minutes. A little behind, that's all right, we'll go behind. We're in chapter 4, 2 Timothy, and we got to verse number 4, turning away from the truth. Verse number 4, return to the fables. And these fables that we have here, for instance, in 1 Timothy 1, verse 4, neither give heed to fables. Fables are false tales. They're not true, they're not biblical, and should not give any heed to them. These false versions and false fables and false doctrines are all around us in all these churches. We're glad for this church that stood firm for all these years and not giving heed to these fables. In 1 Timothy 4, and verse 7, refuse profane and old wives' fables. Some of the old wives have some fables and stories also. Don't give heed to those as well. And Titus 1 and verse 14, not giving heed to Jewish fables. And 2 Peter 1, 16, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. All these fables or false stories should be eliminated and not followed by Bible-believing churches such as this one here. And in verse number 5, let's read that together. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. Together. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make a full proof of thy ministry. Watch. Things around us going bad all the way around. Our Constitutional Republic, the United States Constitution, just torn apart, shredded. Our present government, our present Senate and House, and all these other things. They're doing the same for churches. Watch them. Pastor mentioned it earlier today. So the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches, which this former church was a part of, has gone haywire. I was a Navy chaplain 5 years in active duty from the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches. Didn't take long to see how it's gone wayward. watch. We're to watch in many things, but watch, therefore, in Matthew 24:42, for you know not what the hour your Lord doth come. We never know when he's going to return. Just watch in that regard. Then in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray. Pray that ye enter not into temptation. That's also watchful. In 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the Word of God that this church has been standing for 40 to 50 years. We're glad it continues to stand fast. That means hold the doctrines of the faith. The King James Bible and the underlying Hebrew and Greek text. Then Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer, watch in the same. And 1 Thessalonians 5:6, let us not sleep, let us watch, let us be sober and active and looking around for things properly. In 1 Peter 4:7, the end of the things is at hand, be sober and watch in the prayer. It talks about afflictions in Acts. We'll skip over afflictions because our time is not there, but in 6, let's read that together. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He's ready to be offered. They're offered in two different ways. Offered in giving, but also offered in our bodies. Offered for service for the Lord. And when the people willingly offer, that's one thing. And my heart is toward the governors of Israel. Judges 5:9, they offer themselves willingly to the people. We have to offer not only our money, but ourselves, our lives, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Ministry that is all before us. Then let's go on to verse 7. Because of the time, we just skip over some things. But let's read verse 7. 2 Timothy 4:7 together. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the fight. These are the last words of Apostle Paul to Pastor Timothy, young pastor. I want to encourage this pastor, we want to encourage this church and this pastor as well. First, fought a good fight. The fight is a battle. To stay true to the scriptures. Stay true for all time. Not to give in, not to give up. With all these forces leaving against the truth. It is a good fight. In Psalm 144:1, the psalmist said, blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war, my fingers to fight. Emails and writing and hands to fight, my fingers. And then not as a one that beats the air, but fight a good fight. It says 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith, and they hold on eternal life. And then Paul's finished course, warning of his death in Jerusalem. They say, don't go, they're going to be killed. They're going to kill you there in Jerusalem. Paul says, I can't bear that. I can't listen to that. But he says, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy, the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. We should never give up, even though threatened, and one of these days that may be our plight. This nation is not too long before they're going to knock on our doors and say, go to the FEMA camps or go somewhere else. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, be killed. We've got to fight the good fight. None of our ways should deceive us. And as Paul said, that I may finish my course with joy. They may cut off our heads. They may do any sorts of things. But this government of ours, this country, you'd think it'd be different than that, but it's not different. Sad to say, it's not different at all. Just get my watch out here so I can see it. Okay. About 20 minutes. Paul's keeping the faith. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. The faith, the words of the scriptures, the doctrines of the Bible, the true doctrines based on true Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, and the body of truth and doctrine. And just a few verses on that. Acts 6:7. The word of God increased. The number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. A great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. The faith is the doctrines of the scriptures. In Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. Now the faith is the doctrines of the Bible. The faith. It has an article before us. Not simply pistis, which is faith, but hapistis, the faith. Always when that is in the New Testament, it occurs to the doctrines of the faith. All the theology, all the doctrines, Lord Jesus and all the things there. And then in Acts 16 and verse 5, so were the churches established in the faith. That's what this church has been established in, the faith, the doctrines of the scriptures, and may it continue to be established for another 40 or 50 years, and this 22nd anniversary of this particular church as well. And then in 1 Corinthians 16, 13, watch ye, said Paul, stand fast in the faith. Not just a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but fast, stand fast means firm, strong. And then in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves. He writes to the church at Corinth. This church should examine itself, every single person that attends, every single member, every single friend, whether you be in the faith. Are you in the faith? First, are you saved, born again, true Christian, but are you standing firm for the doctrines of the Bible, not varying in any way? Prove your own selves. Test yourselves. Know you not your own selves. And then Philippians 1 and verse 27. With one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. There should be a unity in our churches and unity in this church to strive for the gospel of the Lord Jesus and the strong faith to continue. And then Paul says in the church of Colossians, writing from prison, Colossians 1:23, if you continue in the faith, Paul, though a prisoner, was thinking about that church in Colossae and saying, are you strong, faithful, grounded, and settled in the faith of the doctrines? The only way you can get grounded and settled is to read the scriptures, follow the scriptures, ask God to help you understand the scriptures. Ever since I was saved, our pastor at the New Year's Eve service, I was saved in October, the first of that next year, he said to our people, I'd like you in this new year, every one of you in this audience, to read from Genesis to Revelation this year. I took him up on that. I asked my going to be the future father, and how do you do that? How do you make, I don't know. So finally, Uncle Charlie Allen, who led me to Christ, gave me this Bible. In the beginning of the Bible, it had every number of chapters, every number of words, every number of verses. And so I looked at the thing, 31,000 something. I divided by 365 in the 4 years. 85 verses per day takes you through it a year. I think we have back there a chart, 85 verses per day. So I began reading the scriptures. If we do not know what the scriptures say, we cannot be strong in the faith and the doctrines of the Bible. We can't defend it. You say, well, I don't understand something. You say, I didn't either. I've been reading it since I was 17 years of age. Now I'm 91. You say, well, why do you keep every year? In fact, the first time I was saved, I read it 2-3 times a year. I didn't stop. I wanted to see what that Bible said.
Amen.
Well, if you continue reading all these, why do you read it? If you read it once, quit. No. Every single time I read God's Word, I learn something I never knew before.
Amen.
And simply knowing something doesn't mean to defend it. You have to both know it and defend it and praise God for it and ask Him to help you to follow the Scriptures. We can't follow on our own. These old fleshes of ours can't follow, but with God's help, we can follow the Scriptures. In Philippians 1 and verse 27, again, writing from prison, from jail, Paul said, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We've got to strive together as a local church, believers, striving together. Colossians 1:23, he says, again from prison, if you continue in the faith, that is, continue following the doctrines of the Bible, the scriptural doctrines of the Bible, grounded and settled. A lot of people say, well, I don't know whether I'm going to change my beliefs. I'm not grounded, I'm not settled. God does not want wavering Christians, wishy-washy Christians. Christians don't know for sure what to believe. We've got to be grounded and settled. Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Stick with what the truth is. Never let any man, woman, or child, or government yank it away and say, you can't believe this. You can't do this. This is wrong. This is evil. If you continue in this, you're going to go to prison. Now, this is the fact of life. This is what's happened around us. And it's not getting any better. ISIS and all the others. Then in Colossians 2 and verse 7, rooted and built up in Him, in the Lord Jesus, and established in the faith. We've got to be established in the Bible, doctrines, faith of the Scriptures, as this church has been for these 22 years, 27, 25 years. Our church is in the 21st year, so sometimes I get confused with these 20s in here. Rooted and built up. And then in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1, the Spirit speaketh expressly, the Holy Spirit, that in the latter times, and we're in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. We mentioned GARB, Regular Baptist Churches, General Association. We mentioned different seminaries and schools. All the ones that started one way, whether it's Presbyterian schools, whether it's Methodist churches, whether it's Baptist schools, American Baptist, Northern Baptist, whatever it may be, General Association, Regular Baptist. Some in the latter days shall depart from the faith. And they have departed, not simply some, but many. Seminaries and schools, they just, as you said before, change their names, change their doctrines, change their things. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's exactly where this, the thing is gone. Many shall depart. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, if any provide not for his own, and especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith. Now that's interesting. Not doing what you should do for your own household, you've denied the faith. It's part of the gospel, part of the gospel that we should believe and hold to and stand for. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, the love of money is the root of all evil. Not simply money, but the love of money, which while some coveted after, I want more, I want more, they have erred from the faith. These big monstrous churches, just look at them. Thousands sometimes attending these churches. Millions of dollars taken in. And what is their faith? What is their doctrine? What do they preach? Well, if they preach certain doctrines, well, that'll cause people to leave the church. Can't preach on that. Preach another doctrine, some will leave. Can't preach on that. All these are erred from the faith, the love of money. Then in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 21, talk about some professing have erred concerning the faith. Those babblings cause you to change your doctrines, change your Bible principles and teachings. Then in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 8, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, these do resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. And that's so true of many pastors, some of them aren't even saved, not even genuine Christians, preachers in these churches all over this country and around the world. And they're reprobate. They have corrupt minds. They have nothing to do with truth in the faith. In Titus 1 and verse 13, this witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Now when you rebuke someone sharply, that doesn't make friends. You know that. As we said earlier, am I therefore become your enemy this morning? As I said, am I becoming your enemy, as the scripture says, because I speak the truth to you, I give you the truth. Sometimes we have enemies because we speak the truth. Pastors know this. Your pastor knows it. I spoke with pastors. When you speak the truth and people are in your audience and they don't go with that truth, don't like it, they will depart very quickly, very easily. In 1 Peter 6, or rather 5 and verse 9, whom, talking about the devil here in this verse, resist steadfast in the faith. We've got to resist the devil and all the devil's people, all of his children, all of his teachings, all of his falseness. And he's two kinds of people. He's the angel of light. What a wonderful person this devil is. We're deceived by the angel of light, but he's really the roaring lion.
That's right.
The roaring lion underneath him. So stay away from the devil and the devil's teachers, the devil's friends, and those that are teaching these devilish doctrines. And then in Jude verse 3, and he says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Contend means to fight. It means to battle. It means to weaponize yourself, your ideas, your views, your doctrines. Earnestly contend. We mentioned that early this morning. I want to follow up with that as well. There was once delivered unto the saints. Not just any old faith. Not just faith that some people say we ought to believe now. Not with all these new modern versions of translations that teach all kinds of errors. The faith delivered unto the saints was the original doctrines, the original things. And that's why we need a sound, sane basis, original language basis, before our Bibles be translated. As Pastor mentioned, the one in Reina Valera Gomez in Spanish, and we have one that we gave to me years ago in the French. They're working on that one. We have one over in Korea, the Korean Bible by Dr. Jung and others. Some are sound of the faith, the proper Hebrew, the proper Aramaic Old Testament, the proper Greek New Testament, the text receptus, the received text, not the false text, and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Yes. And the only thing that was once delivered was those original manuscripts, and they were Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. I went to a school, Dallas Theological Seminary. I don't go along with a lot of things that they believed then, even then, certainly they're worse nor so now. But they did teach us some good things. They taught us some Hebrew, some Greek. They taught us some church history, some other things that are fine. I didn't go along with their doctrines in the Bible. They didn't teach us the right Bible. As soon as we came into the first day of the seminary, at the bookstore, they handed us a Westcott and Hort Greek text. The false Greek text that has 8,000 differences between the text that underlies our King James Bible, New Testament, and 356 doctrinal passages. And for 10 or 15 years, I was absolutely, totally ignorant that that was the wrong Greek text. As far as I knew, there was a school, so they said the right Greek text, you accept it, you believe it. And it took a long, long time to get straightened out on what was the truth of the New Testament. That's the text, the New Testament, the proper text, is the text of the text receptus, but it really gave me the false text, the Gnostic text. And the only way I came to start with that is that when I was teaching at Shelton College, Cape May, New Jersey, a little girl in my class, she raised her head and she said, Dr. Wade, do you know there's a book in our library that tells you about the proper Greek text? I said, no, I didn't know that. She was talking about Dean John William Burgon's book, The Traditional Text. And as soon as that little girl told me about this little book, there was a copy of it in Princeton University's library. It was about 40 miles from us. I got in my car, I went up there, got the book. I took it out, I read it, and immediately, truth was there. Amen. All this trashy stuff and the Gnostic text and various other things, he showed by fact. And so our venture, our Bible for Today ministry, is reproduced and printed in book form. The traditional text. The men behind all these different books, he's written 5 books, Inspiration and Interpretation, but it's important that we have the faith once delivered unto the saints. Amen. And when I went to school, you'd think it was a good school, good things, some of the things, but boy, now I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole, wouldn't have anybody go to Dallas Theological Seminary. I was there, I learned the facts that were false. They were not facts that were true. But the faith once delivered is the faith that we must follow. And that's the faith that is based, in fact, our King James Bible is based on that faith once delivered. It has accurate scriptures in the Old Testament that it's based on, accurate scriptures in the New Testament, Greek, and we can read it, we can use it, we can follow it. I praise God that this church is still following the proper text, the proper faith, the proper attitudes, branching out. We appreciate this. A visual picture of the history of the church. It's 40, 50 years, different churches that have come. We wish you well, and we wish the pastor well as he continues his ministry. And I've got 6 more minutes. I'll give it back to him since we're over. Take it over, boy. Thank you very much.
Amen. As we close, we want to make sure to remind that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, doesn't matter how much truth you have, but if you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it doesn't mean anything, because you're not going to go to heaven. You're going to go to hell. God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God says we're all sinners. We all have told lies or cheated or stolen or looked at things we shouldn't. Every one of us has broken the Ten Commandments. God says the law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. What does the Ten Commandments teach us? It's like our teacher saying, hey, you've broken it again. You did it again. You broke that law. You broke this one. You broke this one. So as we grow up, we realize, hey, I am not perfect. God demands perfection. Do you realize that? In order to get into heaven, God demands perfection.
Right.
And guess what? All of us have failed. We've all broken God's law. God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Because we're sinners, we don't deserve heaven. We deserve judgment in the place called hell. God says the wages, the payment, the paycheck that we deserve is hell. God says that in Revelation 21:8, God says that all liars, you say, oh, I've told a few lies, maybe, you know. Well, God says all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. God says that we all are guilty, and we all are sinners, and we all are under condemnation. And so, therefore, we all deserve judgment in hell. But the good news is that there is someone who is perfect, someone who did take our place, someone who is fully qualified to pay God's righteous sentence of wrath, and that was God's Son, Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus Christ came to this earth to die on that old rugged cross for our sins. So the fact of Jesus dying on the cross is not just a fact of history. It is a fact that you need to believe on Him in order to be saved from your sins, in order to have eternal life in heaven. God demands perfection. The only way that we can be made perfect is by us having a time in our life where we have called upon Jesus as our Savior. My dad was a good pastor, but he was also a good father. My mom was a good mother. And they taught me at an early age, hey, Jeremy, you know, you got to obey the rules. You got to obey the rules of this family. And I, sure enough, at 4 or 5 years old, I realized, ooh, I'm not so good at obeying rules, you know. And I'd skirt around things, and my mom would say, Jeremy, bedtime. And I'd say, oh, Mom, I don't want to go to bed. And I'd whine. And I'd do other things, and I would take things from my brothers, and I would hit my brothers, and I would do different things and show my sin nature. And, you know, I wrestled every day. I said, no, I'm going to be good enough today to gain eternal life myself. I'm going to be perfect today. And so I'd set out in the morning to be perfect all day, and guess what happened? Usually about before lunchtime, you know, I did something. And what did it prove me? Well, it didn't really prove to my parents anything. They already knew who I was. But what it did, it proved to myself that, you know what, no matter how hard I try, I can't get to heaven my own way because I'm not perfect. And so my dad, he said, Jeremy, he said, you know, none of us can. That's why Jesus died on the cross. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross. He paid in full with His blood. That cross is not just a symbol. It is the part and parcel of our way into heaven. That, Jeremy, you have to believe that His shed blood on the cross for your sins, you have to believe on Him because He paid them for you. And so one night as I was wrestling with working my way to heaven and believing on the Lord, my dad was tucking me in at night and he said, Jeremy, are you ready yet to trust Jesus as you say? I said, Dad, I'm so glad you asked. I'm ready. And I was distraught. I was bursting into tears and I was ready. And he said, Jeremy, all you have to do is pray. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
I said, Dad, I want to do that right now. And so I got out of my bed and I knelt down next to him and I prayed a simple sinner's prayer. Dear Lord, I am a sinner. I've broken your law. I deserve hell. But I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sin to take my place. I repent of my sin and call on Jesus as my Savior. Right there, I prayed that simple sinner's prayer and boom, as soon as I was done that prayer, man, the weight of my sin lifted off my shoulders and I was free finally and I could feel it. And I knew it. Most importantly, I knew it from the Scriptures. For whosoever, I put my name in there, for if Jeremy shall call upon the name of the Lord, Jeremy shall be saved. Amen. You can put your name right in there. If you will call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved today.
Amen.
Thou shalt be saved. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed as we close this service. Perhaps you're here today, you know, Pastor Wright, I don't know for sure if I were to die today, where I would go. I don't have that assurance, 100%, that if I died, I'd be in heaven or hell. But I want to know, based on the Word of God today, that I'm on my way to heaven. If that's you, with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one's looking around. If that's you, you say, Pastor, pray for me. I would like to talk with you further about that. After church, I'd like to talk with you further about that. And I would love to share with you how you can be saved today. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there where you're seated. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I see the hands. Is there anyone else? Say, Pastor, pray for me. I don't know if I'm saved or not, but I would like to know today. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there where you're seated. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we have heard this morning. In your word, be reminded of these great important truths. To number one, trust Christ as Savior. And number two, obey you through the rest of our life and be faithful to you. Lord, help us to do that. Lord, help us to fight the good fight and finish the course and keep the faith, Lord, as you have once delivered it to the saints. We pray you bless now this time. In Jesus' name, amen. As we close this service, we're going to sing our invitation hymn, hymn number 57 in our hymn book. And let's all stand together as we sing this song. And if you need to come for any reason, maybe you'd like to be saved, maybe you want to be baptized or join the church, come take me by the hand and make that next step. Wouldn't you like to be part of the great legacy of faith and faithfulness? Become a member of Northfield Baptist Church. Or maybe you'd like to just come and kneel at the altar and thank God for His many blessings over the years in your life, or thank God for something that He has pointed out to you. Would you come as we sing this song?
Search me, O God, and
Yeah.
finished with the next part of the service, we are going to go right into the hors d'oeuvres. So we'll close in prayer, and then we'll invite you to have a seat with us. Please stay with us. We have the young people led by Mrs. Gibson. They're going to be serving the hors d'oeuvres to us today. So we'll close in prayer, pray for the food, and then we're going to have a few testimonies from those from First Baptist and Faith Baptist to share testimonies with us. And I just ask that each one keeps your testimony to about 4 minutes. That's all we have time for with the seven or eight people that are going to give testimonies. Keep it to 4 minutes, so that way we stay right on time frame to go to the restaurant at 1 o'clock. All right, let us close in prayer at this time. And I'm going to ask one of a great encourager of the church over the years, Ernesto Altamari, would you close us in prayer and also pray for the food?
Most gracious Lord God, Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for a church that magnifies the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and has the defenders of the faith standing for Paul, the word of the Lord. We thank you, Father, that the church still wants to reach souls. We bless this time of fellowship and the food, by the Lord, our conversation be pleasing to you. We ask